Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Well, today we're continuing our series called Sounds of the Season. We've been taking a look at some classic Christmas songs over the past few weeks. And if you haven't been able to be with us, you can always go to our website and jump online and hear previous messages at any time at your convenience. But today, our song that we're looking at is Away in a Manger. We just sang that a few moments ago. And it's one of those songs, again, that we sing every year, that it's probably one that you're all familiar with. And that's the whole point of this series, Sounds of the Season, songs that we're familiar with, songs that we sing. But to give a new light and to give a new perspective on the songs as we sing them, that as we sing them in the future, that you'll come back and remember one of these messages, that something God spoke to you over the course of this series. Now, a little bit of background on Away in a Manger. It was first published in a Lutheran Sunday school curriculum in 1885. So going back to 1885 in a Lutheran Sunday school curriculum, that's where it first popped up on the scene. Now, there are a lot of people that believe that Martin Luther actually wrote Away in a Manger. However, after some study and digging a little bit deeper, it's not necessarily clear that he wrote it, although some like to attribute it to him. We really don't know the author of Away in a Manger. It just popped up in this Sunday school literature, and it's been around since 1885. Isn't it amazing how things can just spring seemingly out of nowhere, but yet now we've been singing this song for well over 100 years, and we all know it. It's one of those simple songs, but yet it's a powerful song as well. And there's something about Jesus being born in a lowly manger. And I know I've talked about this. This wasn't necessarily what the manger looked like or exactly how Jesus was born. And the same thing, the lyrics of the song says that no crying he made. Do you really believe a baby made no crying? Have you been around a baby that has just been born? Yes, they cry. But so there, you know, the song obviously took a little bit of, made some adjustments to maybe real life. And so even though this isn't exactly what the manger scene looked like, that's okay. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything inherently wrong with it. But it's just something to picture, something in our minds. But there is truly something about Jesus being born in a manger, that he wasn't born as the king, that he was born into a palace, but he was born in a stable amongst animals. And that Jesus is showing us that how he came into the earth, how he was born, is showing that there is no one too low, there is no place too low for God's grace. That God's grace came in a manger, and that's where Jesus was born, and there is no place too low for any of us to receive God's grace. There's a phrase in the song that is repeated a couple times. And it says, the little Lord Jesus. And that's the phrase that I want to kind of highlight this morning and explore a little bit deeper and to grab a hold of that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. Now, I don't want to necessarily talk about the little part, all right? I don't want to, you know, talk about little Jesus, you know, that was 6 pounds, 8 ounces, and however long. You know, that's not the part that I want to focus on. The part that I want to focus on is that he is Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. That's the key, Lord Jesus. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to Lord 740 times. Anytime the Bible mentions something that many times, we probably need to hold on to that and really need to understand the significance of it. 740 times, Jesus is referred to Lord in the New Testament. Let's look at the first mention of it, all right? So it wasn't Away in the Manger. That's not the first time he was referred to it. But let's look in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, it'll be on the screen in just a moment. But Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And this is the first mention of Jesus being named as Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The first mention of Jesus being Lord in Luke chapter 2 in the gospel. So at the very beginning of Jesus' story, the very beginning of his life, the very beginning of who he is, establishing who he is Lord. It's significant and it's important that it wasn't later in life that he was established Lord, but from a baby, little Lord Jesus was established as a child, the Lord of all. That is who he is. He is Lord. So what does it mean for Jesus to be the Lord of our lives? That's what I want to explore this morning. If we understand that Jesus is Lord, that he was established from the very beginning, little Lord Jesus, he was established Lord, but what does it mean for him to be the Lord of our lives or the Lord in our lives? Now, the Lord translated in Greek is kurios, which means supreme in authority, controller, or Lord. All right, so translation into that word is supreme authority, in control. Now, you don't necessarily have to answer this, but you know, out loud, but if you want to, that's fine. Who likes to be in control? Hands pop right up. I'll answer that question right now. There are some of us that like to be in control. And your spouse probably is aware of that this morning. That's probably not a news flash. Don't elbow anybody or anything like that, or if you want to, that's fine. That's okay. We can pray later. But there are some of us that we like to have control. We like to have control over every area of our lives. We like to be in control of every situation. We need to know how everything is going to work out. And that's just how we are. We're wired that way to be in control. Some people don't necessarily want control over everything, but certain things. And there's certain little areas that I want to control. I can care less about everything else, but these things I want control of. I want control over my kids, or I want all control over my finances, or whatever it may be, but there are areas, and some people just want control over all things. But what does it mean to make Jesus Lord? What does it make to make Jesus Lord of our lives? I've probably made this mistake, and we all have made this mistake. I know that I've made this mistake. When we say that we want to ask Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, that we've all said this, that, you know, ask the question, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life, or would you like to make Jesus the Lord of your life? I've said it, it's not accurate, and this is the reason why it's not accurate. We do not make Jesus Lord over anything. We do not make Jesus Lord over anything. God has already made Jesus Lord. God already established Jesus as Lord as a baby in a manger. He established who he was. He established his title. We don't establish anything. But we do submit our lives to him in a saving relationship with him. When we submit our lives to him, we do not make him Lord. He was already established Lord thousands of years ago. We submit our hearts and our lives to him, not making him Lord. He was already established that. Again, you may go, well, that's really not, but it's important to understand who Jesus is, that he is Lord. And that if we have a relationship and we're submitting our heart to him, that we are placing him in what? Supreme control or Lord of our lives. We surrender to his Lordship. That means that we're releasing control. That means that we are no longer in control of our lives and we are submitting to his Lordship. We are submitting ourselves to him. So how do we do that? How do we submit ourselves to the Lord? Well, I think there's a couple ways we do this. And one way we do this is that we partially surrender our lives to Christ. There's a partially surrendered life. And I believe, unfortunately, many American Christians and even in the West fall into this category. That we live partially surrendered lives, that we submit part of ourselves to Christ, but not all of ourselves. Look at what Luke 6:46 has to say. This is Jesus speaking. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? He says it twice. Again, anytime the Bible repeats something, hold on, grab a hold of it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You see, Jesus doesn't want lip service. He wants life service. Jesus does not want lip service. He doesn't want us just to say, yeah, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, but then go and do whatever we want to do with our lives. If we're truly submitting ourselves to him and to his Lordship, we are saying, I am no longer in control of my life, but you are in control, and I will do what you tell me to do. I am surrendering myself to you. But Jesus is saying, why? You're calling me Lord. He mentions that you're saying Lord, Lord, but yet you don't do what I say. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. I am your parent. Why are you disobeying me? I've told you clearly to do this, and you are doing the opposite of that. Jesus doesn't want lip service. He wants life service for us to serve him. He doesn't want us to say, yes, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, but then I'm just going to go live my life my own way. Many people say they've made Jesus the Lord of their lives, but don't give him full control. Again, it comes back to who is in control. Are we in control? Or are we saying, Lord, you are in control of my life? So a question has to be asked. Is there something that we are not surrendering? Is there something that I am not surrendered to the Lord? What is there one area that you are still in control of that you have not given him full control of your life? For many years, I struggled with giving. I'll be honest with you. It was one of the areas that I said, Lord, I'm surrendering my life in every other area, but when it comes to my money, that's mine. I'm not going to give that. I trust you with everything else, but I'm not going to give 10% of what I make. Just not going to do it. That's mine, and I'm serving in full-time ministry, and I've preached on giving and tithing and everything else, but yet, personally, I wasn't giving 10%. Because I felt like I knew what best to do with my money than trusting with God. That I could control it better than God could. And so I would rationalize in my mind, well, God, you know how hard it is. I mean, we're a young married couple. We've got two, you know, kids and one toddler and one on the way. And it's hard. I mean, do you know how much diapers are? I mean, that's a lot of money. And then formula and everything else and then daycare. God, you understand if I don't give 10% because this is what I have to do. And I had control over it. And as I was serving in ministry, it was while we were in Kansas. Good things did come out of Kansas. The Holy Spirit began to deal with me on this, that you are not surrendering all of your life to me. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm serving you. I've moved my family from Florida to Kansas. Trust me, I'm surrendered to you, God. I mean, in the middle of, you know, January, it was funny, yesterday on Facebook, I got a notification on my memories 9 years ago, and a little picture of Isaac, bald-headed, fat little Isaac, standing out, looking at our out of our back porch, and there's like 2 feet of snow. I've surrendered to you, God. I could be in Florida right now, and here we are in Kansas. No, you haven't. You haven't surrendered all over to me because you think that you have more control over your finances than if you can give it over to me. And so me and God, we struggled. We wrestled until I finally said, okay, I'm going to trust you with all of my life, every area. I'm going to surrender all of my, and that means I'm going to give 10%. Even though I knew, looking at our bills, looking at our monthly, I don't know how we're going to do it. We can't afford it. Now I don't know how I afforded not to. Because ever since I did that, every bill has been met. Every need has been taken care of. And God has been so gracious, he's given me more than just meeting my needs. He's met even my wants and my heart's desires. Because I finally submitted over to him. But there are times when I go back and go, well, maybe I don't have to, you know, maybe, nope, stop. Stop right then and there. I surrender all my life to you. That was an area for me. That was a struggle of mine. And I'm not saying that that's your area. That was mine. But I believe there in each and every one of us as believers, there are areas that we feel like we can control, that we will surrender to God certain areas, but we will hold on to certain ones because we know better than God. But I believe that God, it's clear that he wants us to surrender all of our lives to him. If we're saying, you are the Lord of my life, that means I'm surrendering all myself to you. Every part of myself, not just bits and pieces of it. And we all have areas at one time or another we've struggled with. And maybe there are ones that you have struggled just like I did, but you've come through that. If we've made a commitment to surrender ourselves to Christ, that means that we surrender all of our lives, not just part of it. But we have a tendency to take parts of God's word and say, well, I agree with this, but where it says right here, nah, I don't know, I'm just going to kind of look over that. If I were to take this Bible this morning and rip pages out of it, how would that make you feel? I bet some of you would be really mad at me this morning if I did that. Pastor, how dare you rip God's word? How dare you do that? But quite honestly, while yes, I do believe in the sacredness of this book, it's just words on a page. How often in our lives do we rip pages out of the Bible because we do not surrender to it? If I were to do that right now, you'd probably be really upset with me. But yet in our personal lives, we do that every single day. We rip pages out of the Bible because, well, I can't surrender fully to that. It's important that we examine every area of our lives. It is important that we examine every part of ourselves. Am I surrendering all? Am I surrendering everything that what your word says? Am I surrendering that to you, or am I only living partially for you? You see, there are times that we're just living partially surrendered lives to Christ, but Jesus wants a fully surrendered life. So are we living a partially surrendered life, or are we living a fully surrendered life? What does a fully surrendered life look like? Let's take a moment and look at that. It's just being a convenient Christian. A fully surrendered life is not just a convenient Christian. I'll be a follower. I'll surrender to you, God, when it's convenient for me and my schedule. Not just when I come to church on Sunday, but every day of my life. A fully devoted follower of Christ. Romans 14, 7 and 8 says this. For none of us lives our lives alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. See, our lives are not our own. When we surrender to his lordship, we belong to him. When I asked Rebecca to marry me, that was a terrifying moment. I knew she was going to say yes. I mean, who wouldn't say yes to this guy? I knew she... You know, God has a way to knock you down. It's coming back to me. I know it is. I'm prepared for it. But when I asked Rebecca to marry me, that was a scary time because I knew the commitment that I was making to her and what I was asking her to marry me. And I bought her the ring, and I wish I could have bought a ring that was five times as big as that I could buy, but that's all I could afford at that time, being 20 years old, 21 years old, whatever it was. But that was a commitment to her that I was making, that I'm asking you to belong to me, and I am going to belong to you. And when we stood on this very stage and we said our vows to each other, we were committing to one another that you now belong to me and that I belong to you. That this ring symbolizes that I belong to somebody else. I never take my ring off. And I honestly, I can't remember a day that I've ever gone without having my wedding ring on. It is a symbol that I belong to Rebecca, and her ring symbolized that she belongs to me. And I know some of you are thinking, I don't belong to anybody. I don't belong to any man. That's old school preaching right there, Pastor. No, it's really not. It's how God designed it, that we belong to each other, but we belong to God. That we belong ultimately to him, that we submit to each other, but we submit first to the lordship of Christ. You see, it didn't cost her anything for me to give her that ring, but it cost me a lot. It cost me a lot of money to buy that ring and give it, but it didn't cost her anything. But what did it cost her to say yes? It cost everything. Because she's saying, I belong to you, that she is mine and I am hers. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, it didn't cost me anything. But it cost him everything. It cost everything for him, but cost us nothing. But when we submit to him as Lord, then we're saying, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving everything that I have to you. And I think sometimes we can take a far too casual approach in our walk with God and in our relationship with Christ. There was one day I was really challenged that I forget where I was in a church service somewhere. And the pastor that came up and opened in prayer, he opened it, hey God, how you doing? I'm telling you, I about came out of my skin. I'm like, that is not how you open a prayer. Hey God, what's up? Like, this is not okay. Like, I'm really wrestling with this right now because I understand what he was trying to do. It was a group of younger kids, students, college students, and so he was trying to be relational in that. I understand what he was trying to do, but I felt like, man, our relationship with God shouldn't be that casual, that there should be some reverence to serving God. There should be some reverence in our relationship with God. I believe that we can have that closeness with God, that, you know, hey, God, what's going on today? But I believe there still should, but that sometimes we take it too casually. that a relationship with God is too casual and that there is no conviction of our hearts. We have to understand that yes, as Jesus was a little baby in a manger, he was still and is Lord. That little baby grew up to die on the cross for all of our sins. He is the risen and soon returning King of Kings. And so we have to submit ourselves to him and not live this casually, partially submitted life to him, but giving all of ourselves. And that means it requires something from us. It means giving up areas of our lives that we want to be in control of, and that's not always easy. Because some of us are more geared and wired to keeping control, that I will manage everything in my household and I will manage every single person, and maybe you're in charge of many people where you work, and so you know what it's like to be in control, and you have to be. But when it comes to our walk and our relationship with Christ, we have to submit to him in all of our ways. Let's jump back to Proverbs chapter 3. We looked at this a couple months ago, but Proverbs chapter 3, it resonates so much today. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In some of your ways, submit, oh, nope, that's not right, that's not accurate. In all of your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. How many times do we intentionally, unintentionally take verse 6 and say, in some of our ways, I'll submit to you, in the ways that are okay with me, and in the ways that I'm already good with, but that's not what it says. In all of our ways, we must submit to him. See, we're supposed to trust God with all of our heart, not just parts of it, but submitting all of him, submitting all of ourselves to him. And it's translated in there that in all your ways acknowledge him, and I'm not a big proponent of the word acknowledge, but rather it means to know him. In all of your ways, know him. It's not just saying, yeah, I acknowledge you. I mean, because you can be at Walmart or passing somebody and you see and you just kind of do the head nod and you acknowledge them, right? Hey, what's up? You know, go on about your business. That's not knowing him. That's, yeah, I see you're there. But when we know him, that means we know all of his ways and that we understand what it means to fully submit our lives to him, not just acknowledge it. But I think far too often, living a partially surrendered life to Christ is just that acknowledgement. But God wants us to know him, to trust him with all of our hearts. In all your ways, know him. We need to know Jesus in every area of our lives. The reason why we don't fully trust him is perhaps because we don't fully know him. We know about him, we've heard about him, but do we really have that relationship with him? Where he knows everything about us, but do we know everything about him? Jesus wants us to fully trust him and to give all that we have of ourselves to him. You don't meet a person on the side of the street and just tell them your entire life story. Some people do. There are some people they meet, you know, hey, and just, whoa, easy. Like, we just met, but okay. But for the most part, we don't tell our whole life story to people that we just meet on the side of the road. Why? Because we don't trust them. We don't know them. It takes time to build trust. It takes time to fully, okay, now I can tell you parts of my life that I wouldn't just tell anybody because I can trust you. Because we found that if there are people we tell things that we don't fully know, what they may use that as ammunition against us because they're not out for our own best interest. Jesus is never going to use our past against us. The only person that uses our past against us is the enemy. He uses our past against us all the time to keep us from walking in the destiny that God has for us. He fully knows every part of us and still allows us to come to him and submit to him. It takes time to get to know people, and we need to understand who Christ is and truly get to know him on a daily basis, not just on Sunday morning. Maybe, you know, you checked a box at one time and said, yeah, I believe in Jesus, or maybe even got baptized, but do you really have a relationship with him? There are a lot of people that unfortunately fall into that category where, yeah, you know, I know about Jesus, and I even got baptized, but they really don't know him as Lord. They help out their neighbor, and they give to the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, you know, ringing the red kettles right now, and all those things. They put a couple dollars in the offering plate, but do you really know him? Have you submitted your lives to him? Jesus gives us a stark warning in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many, that should scare all of us. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will plainly tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There are far too many people that say, Lord, Lord, I knew you. We did good things in your name. I helped my neighbor. I gave to missions. I did all the things that I was supposed to. But he's going to say, I didn't know you because you have not fully surrendered your life to him. There's a big difference between calling Jesus Lord and surrendering him as Lord. There are a lot of people that have done great things in the name of Jesus, but they have never fully submitted their lives to him. Don't let that be you. Do not let that be you. With all every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, may we allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts this morning. May we allow the Holy Spirit to do a little internal heart work today. To examine us, to see that truly we have made that commitment to make Jesus Lord. That maybe we've said the words or we've done good things, but have we truly submitted to his lordship? Have we allowed him complete control over every area of our lives? Or is there something you're still holding on to? Jesus makes it very clear to you and I this morning that we have to make sure that we have submitted ourselves fully to him. Not just partially, but fully submitted to his lordship. It's hard to give up control. It's hard to let go of things. I'm not standing up here this morning telling you it's easy. What I'm saying is it's necessary. On the day that we finally cease to be on this earth, there are those, unfortunately, they're going to say, Lord, I did things in your name. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. Don't let that be you. Do not let that be you. Say, God, I want to submit all my ways to you today. Show me if there's anything that I'm not submitting to you. And maybe if there's something that you're aware of, say, God, I need your help. I want to give this over to you, but it's just so hard. I've been holding on to it for so many years. Trust me, he sees your struggle. He knows how difficult it is. As we sang a few minutes ago, that his arms are open wide, that we can give him everything and we can leave it at the altar. And we don't have to pick it up when we walk away, we just leave it there. And that we take every moment and every day and say, God, I surrender this moment to you. I surrender this hour to you. I surrender this day to you. I don't know where you are this morning, but I pray you allow the Holy Spirit to examine, to speak. And if that's you today and you say, you know what, I just need to submit to him, then just simply say that. Say, Lord, I submit to you. I give all my life to you. Every part of me I give to you. I believe in you. I believe that you were born a baby in the manger. I believe that you were Lord in that manger. I believe that you were Lord when you died on the cross. And I believe you are Lord when you come back again one day. I submit my life to you, every area, every nook and cranny, every part of me, I submit to you. I want to live for you all the days of my life, not just on Sunday or when it's convenient, but every day I submit my life to you. That when I open up the pages of the Bible, that you would speak to me, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal areas of me that maybe I'm not fully submitted to. Holy Spirit, I pray that again, we would find hope in you, encouragement in you. That Jesus, you are the Lord of our lives. And again, if that's you today, just simply say that, Lord, I make you the Lord of my life. Jesus, you are Lord in every area. I surrender all to you today. Every part of my being, I give to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.